Welcome to the Bigger Cashflow Podcast, where we interview business owners and real estate investors that share tips and tricks on how to grow your cash flow and reach financial freedom.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to another exciting episode of the Bigger Cashflow Podcast. This is the first episode of 2020, and to kick off the new year, I wanted to do something different and launch an entirely new podcast series just on buying your first rental property. Well, I remember it was about 2 years, a little over 2 years, when I first came across Bigger Pockets. And I attended Brandon Turner's webinar, How to Get Your First Rental Property in 90 Days. And attending that webinar really changed my life in terms of it kicked my butt. It really put me in focus and made me realize that I have to take action immediately, move at the speed of instruction if I really wanted to change my life. So I wanted to do the same thing, pay it forward, and kick off this new series. I'm not sure exactly how many episodes that's going to be, maybe 6, 7, or 8, going anywhere from analyzing your market, finding your core four team, whether it be your broker, your property manager, contractor, and lender, then finding your market, doing the due diligence on the actual property, purchasing the property, and maintaining and scaling your portfolio. Now, in 2 years, I have been blessed to be able to scale my rental portfolio to about 32 units, and I have a couple more projects underway that I should be closing here in January. And I feel like this is a great time, even though there might be a lot of people saying the sky is falling, it's not really the best time to invest, hold your cash or whatnot. I think smart money always moves. And what I mean by that is if you are financially literate, you know how the system works, then you are able to find deals even in the highs and the lows of the market. You just have to buy things with equity and value add opportunities. To kick things off, I actually wanted to revisit one of my all-time favorite books on personal finance, and it's called Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. And there's a couple of important concepts that I wanted to share with you guys that he talks about in his book. And this book is written in a storytelling format where he talks about his two dads, his biological father, the poor dad, and his best friend's father, Rich Dad, who was a very successful businessman. And he talks about a couple concepts that might really change the way that you view cash flow, net worth, and your overall financial picture. So he talks about why the rich get richer. And one of the early lessons taught by Robert's Rich Dad is that the rich have money work for them, while the poor and middle class work for the money. So let me say that one more time. The rich have money work for them, while the poor and middle class work for money. The key difference is that understanding the difference between assets and liabilities. Now, you know, when we think assets in the traditional sense, you might think of, you know, the cash in your bank account, the car in your driveway, maybe even that house with the white picket fence that you've purchased. But what Robert challenges us to do is really think of it simply in this term. Assets put money in your pocket, where liabilities take money out of your pocket. So that house that you bought on, you know, the cul-de-sac with that white picket fence, if it's not putting money into your pocket, then you should recategorize it as a liability. And that's a big fundamental shift for a lot of people because, you know, we've been trained to think that a house is an asset. Maybe your parents, in the boomer generation, they have bought their house and they're banking on that for their retirement. Maybe it's worth, you know, a couple $100,000 and it has appreciated in value over the 30 years that they've owned it. Now they're getting to retire and that's what they're banking on. Well, Robert really focuses on the cash flow side of things. That's why if a property is not putting money into your pocket, it's a liability. And there's another important concept that Robert deals with through actually his board game, Cashflow 101. is you have the opportunity of choosing different characters as you start the game. And the basic premise is that once you have exceeded your expense, if your income, whether it be passive or active, then you are able to exit the rat race. And you might have characters such as nurses or doctors that you're going through the game and you basically, you know, pay your expenses. Maybe you have salary increases. Maybe you have different payments that you have to make. But one might think that, hey, I want to be a doctor because I'm obviously going to make the most money and I'll be able to exit the rat race quicker. Well, if you've played the game, you'll realize that that's not necessarily the case, because the doctor with that high income might also come with much more baggage. And by baggage, what I mean by that is maybe they had to get student loans to put themselves through medical school. After they graduated, they wanted to buy those fancy cars or buy that house on the cul-de-sac. Well, maybe the nurse who's making $80,000 to $100,000 a year does not have as much student loans, or they don't buy that house or the cars that the other doctors are buying. In a sense, it's going to take longer for that doctor to exit the rat race if that's what they want to do. Now, by no means am I telling you if you want to be a doctor, that's your passion. Maybe you want to be a surgeon, save lives. I'm not telling you to go get another job so that you can just exit the rat race early. I'm not telling you to do that. However, what I'm saying is that you must understand the financial impact of those decisions. Maybe you make that high income, but there's something called lifestyle inflation. Those golden handcuffs are going to keep you trapped in that rat race for just a little longer. Now, the flip side of that is if you are financially literate and you know what you're doing, I've seen tons and tons of doctors who are making high income and are financially savvy. Maybe they put that active income into passive real estate investments. Maybe they are privately lending, investing in syndications. They're doing other things to either lower their tax expense and also start moving from that self-employed to the business owner or investor side of the quadrant, moving from left side to the right side. And this is covered much more in detail on Robert's second book, Cash Flow Quadrant. So I really highly recommend that you read these two books, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and Cash Flow Quadrant, before you guys get really knee deep into investing in real estate or stocks or whatever it might be you choose to be the asset vehicle of your choice. Now that at a high level, we've kind of talked about why I think it's so important that we have our money work for us than us working for our money. In another word, basically not trading time for money, right? I really wanted to get into the meat of this discussion. And as this podcast episode is titled Goal Setting for Your First Rental Property, I'm going to go ahead and frame this conversation and say that my audience for this podcast episode is going to be maybe a W-2 investor or a small business owner looking to buy their first rental property, get some passive income, continue to build that portfolio to the point where their passive income exceeds their investments, and then they can choose to do what they want. As I've really alluded to in some of my earlier podcasts, there really is no question that real estate investing is one of the best ways to generate long-term wealth and cash flow. And it's something that the average person can really accomplish in one generation. So it's not something that has to be passed down to you. And with the right strategies in place, you will be able to create equity and cash flow. Now, before we even dive into how to find a property and how to find your team, what's really going to be important is goal setting. Because like my friend Michael Zuber at One Rental at a Time says, real estate is going to test you over the long run. Now, I've only been doing this 2 years and I have seen already fruits of my labor. However, there have been times where I was up at night worrying, is the property going to get rented? Is it going to get rehabbed correctly? Is it going to appraise for what I expected it to appraise for and what I ran my numbers against? Those are all important questions that you need to think about and prepare for. But before you even get to that step, you need to take a step back and think at a high level. Think 10,000 foot overview level. What are your goals? What direction am I trying to go towards? Because there's a lot of people on Bigger Pockets or Facebook groups that hit me up and say, hey, Bo, how did you get to 32 units in such a short period of time? Should I wholesale? Should I be flipping properties? Single family, multifamily, commercial units. There's so many different strategies. And in this day and age with information at our fingertips, I can only imagine that people will easily get analysis paralysis. So that's why I feel like it's so important, as cliche and maybe rah-rah as it is, it's so important to get your mindset correctly and really think about the direction that your ship is heading towards. As you guys are listening to this episode, you know, I want you to get your pen and paper out, or maybe bookmark it if you're on the road listening, so that you can do this exercise when you get home, is really document what are your main motivations of investing in real estate. What brought you to this podcast to learn more about passive real estate investing? You know, do you want to quit working and you want to be your own boss? Do you want to use it to take care of your family? One of my motivations is that I want to help supplement my parents' retirement. My parents are immigrants and they don't have anything saved up for their retirement. They're in their mid-60s, and I really want my rental portfolios to maybe help supplement some of their lifestyle. Another simple but great answer might be you want to start preparing for your kids' college education. Or maybe you want to just not rely solely on a 401k and Roth IRA to get you through retirement, and you want to retire a little bit earlier than what Wall Street is telling you you can retire at 60 or 65. These are all great answers, but the thought process of doing this will help you understand your long-term plan in terms of meeting those objectives. Now, the answers are going to vary from person to person based on where they're at in their life. Maybe you're fresh out of college, you're 22, 23, just got your first job, and maybe you want to get started in real estate. Their answers and their goals might look different for somebody who is maybe in their mid-career or later years in their career, making a higher income, and they have maybe $200,000, $300,000 saved up to just really dive into real estate. So the next step is you've thought big picture. Now let's create the small bite-sized steps that's going to push you into the next direction. And what I mean by that is, let's just frame it in that conversation of somebody who's worked for maybe 5-6 years, they have maybe $10,000 saved up. Well, to buy a $100,000 rental in the Midwest, you need about 20% down with closing costs. Let's just say you need $23,000, $24,000. Let's round it up to $25,000. So if you have $10,000, you're $15,000 short. So you need to figure out, okay, my goals are realistically taking a look at my income versus my expenses. Maybe I have some bonuses coming in. And if I really tighten that up, I should be able to save $15,000 by, you know, August of 2020. So you write that down. Okay, realistically, I should be able to hit my down payment numbers by August. Now, your other steps, which we'll probably dive into more in our future episodes, when you look for your lender, your property manager, and all that, you want to line those up. So maybe you want to start going to networking meetings. You want to go on Bigger Pockets, a big real estate forum where you can network with other investors to find out, you know, where you're going to invest. You're finding your team. All of that legwork leading up to August, you will be able to do. You don't just show up to August with $25,000 and be like, okay, where's my property, right? There's going to be other small manageable steps that you'll be able to take to keep you pushing towards that goal of buying that first rental property. Now, that's your short-term goals. You also have to talk about your long-term goals, right? So you've bought that first property. Well, not everybody gets into real estate to just buy one rental property. We're going to talk about this a little bit more in depth in analyzing your rental property, but I personally look for $200 a door and a minimum of 12% cash on cash in, you know, C plus B minus neighborhoods in the Midwest when I'm looking for these rental properties? Well, it's going to fluctuate from time to time and based on the different deal criteria, as well as the market shifts and how much experience you have. Maybe you have more experience and you're willing to take on a little bit more risk for more reward. But it is important to be able to benchmark something, because you're going to be able to get a lot of leads, and qualifying them quickly will set you apart from the competition. So let's just say you have the same criteria, $200 a door for single family homes, 12% cash on cash. Well, for multifamily, 2 to 4 units, maybe you come across a duplex that you like, or a quad or a triplex. Maybe it's $100 a door and minimum 15% cash on cash, just because you know that the tenants are a little bit more transient. You might have a little bit more turnover that's going to kill your cash flow. So you need that higher, you know, cash on cash return to compensate for that. So once you have those criteria per property, you're going to have to look at it from a holistic portfolio approach, right? So how much is your expenses currently that you're trying to match with your passive income? So for me, when I first started, I wanted $10,000 in passive income. Now that has increased to $15,000. So I am moving up my barometer just a little bit higher. But this is important because you have something to work towards and it's very personal to you. If you're looking for insurance coverage for your rental properties, the company that I trust is Ross Diversified Insurance Services, a national insurance agency that has been providing insurance coverage for real estate investors for over 30 years. Whether it's a rental or a fix and flip, Ross provides you coverage through A-rated insurance carriers to provide you with competitive rates, as one size does not fit all. Check out biggercashflow.com/RDIS to get your free quote today. When you're purchasing your first property or the next, you want to work with an experienced lender who's got your best interest in mind. Sean Huss at Chemical Bank has been a professional in the mortgage industry for over 25 years and has helped hundreds of investors like you and me grow their rental portfolio. With expertise in areas such as real estate sales, title and escrow, and the mortgage closing process, Sean is able to provide comprehensive counsel to guide you throughout this often complicated process. Check out biggercashflow.com/chemicalbank to get pre-qualified for free when you mention the Bigger Cashflow podcast. So now that you have set your short-term and long-term goals, it's time to kind of take a look at your personal finances. I know this is something that many of us dread looking at. You know, we see the money coming in and we see a lot of money going out, but most Americans, we don't set a personal financial budget for ourselves. And you'd be surprised to see, when you really take a hard look at your bank statements, where you're spending, especially if you've categorized them by using apps such as Mint.com or Personal Capital, you'll be able to see where your clothing expenses have gone for the year, or eating out, or even just, you know, paying different types of fees and subscriptions, whether it be Netflix or your cell phone or utility bills. It's really important that you get a good grasp of this, because it's really going to drive how much you're able to save and really tuck away for your real estate investments. Now, it's also really important to talk to your CPA and get a good glimpse into your taxes, you know, get a good glimpse into your assets and liabilities, because one thing that you really want to be is bankable. And there might be a couple of different definitions, but the way that I have defined it is that you want to be bankable from a lending perspective. So making sure your debt to income ratio is sound, and making sure that you have good reserves, good credit scores. You want to make it easy for the loan officer to approve your loan, because they're ultimately on your side. That's how they get paid. However, if there are red flags or things that, you know, don't make you qualify for their Fannie or Freddie products, then you're not going to be able to get those loans. So we're near the end of this episode, and this is going to be one of our shorter episodes because it's meant to provide you with a high-level overview and background into the why we're investing, what are we doing this for, what are some of our goals, whether it be short-term, long-term, and then come up with a couple actionable steps to take us into the next level. So the next episode is going to be about finding the right market for your rental properties, as well as grading different neighborhoods and areas. Now, before we wrap up today's episode, I do want to give you guys a couple actionable steps for you guys to get started. And I'm going to share a couple of different resources. And I've mentioned it earlier on this episode, one of my favorite areas for researching different topics and talking with other investors is going to be Bigger Pockets. So Bigger Pockets is the largest community of real estate investors on the internet. I've joined over 2 years ago and met over dozens of people who I've either had coffee with or brainstormed different strategies and ideas with. And what's really cool is some of these guys have 20 plus years experience. Some of these guys are just starting out, just like you guys. And you guys will be able to share different stories and strategies on how to get started, because there are so many people that have different types of backgrounds as well as different types of resources. So maybe you guys might even end up partnering up on a deal together, or if you need money and they need somebody with the knowledge or the hustle to do it, you guys can partner up as well. So it's a great place for you to just network and meet people. And in addition to investors, there's going to be realtors, insurance agents, wholesalers, turnkey providers, property managers, and just general contractors who you're going to need to know down the road. Now, of course, it's a wide pool of people, so you're going to need to carefully vet them, do your due diligence, cross-reference them with other investors, maybe even meet them face-to-face. You know, sometimes that's not really feasible if, like me, you're investing in, you know, across the country in Indianapolis, but you're going to want to do that. I mean, I flew out there at least 2 times. I've gone to Kansas City, I've gone to Little Rock, and all of these trips have helped me build a stronger team that has helped me to grow my portfolio to where it is today. And just remember that with any relationship, the trust is going to be built over time. So just don't accept everything that you hear in totality, but use your judgment to make the right decisions. And also just know that you don't have to know everything up front to be successful. You know, one of my favorite quotes is from Matt Terrio from Epic Real Estate. And he says, "Go as far as the eye can see. And once you get there, you'll be able to see further." And this is really echoed by one of my favorite actors, Will Smith. And he says, you know, the reason why I have been able to be successful in my career is that when you go out to build, let's just say, a big wall or a house, you don't go out there and just say, "Hey, you know, I'm going to build this house. Where do I lay all these bricks?" You go out there every day, you lay a brick at a time as perfectly as you can. You stack them up on each other. And as soon as you know it, you're going to have a beautiful wall to build your house upon. So it's about persistent action and consistent action over an extended period of time. So just don't feel like when you talk to some of these people on the forums that have, you know, dozens of homes, that, you know, you can't compete with them or you can't just hang with them. You know, they all started like you and I. We started with one house, just learning as far as we can go. And then once you get there, maybe you get a duplex and then you do a quad and you get into apartments and then you do commercial real estate, mobile home parks, or different types of things you'll learn along the way. Now, so that's a great resource for you guys. Another one is podcasts. Just like you have found my podcast, there are a ton of other podcasts, some of who have been guests on my show. I love listening to Narada Real Estate, Passive Real Estate Investing. I love listening to Joe Fairless, Best Ever Real Estate. You can also check out Matt Terrio, who I mentioned earlier, Epic Real Estate Investing. I also like listening to Rod Cleef,
lifetime cash flow through real estate investing. So those are just a few of the guys that I listen to. There are a ton more, but you know, download a lot of them and just search for topics that interest you. Maybe you're not interested in learning about subject two or commercial apartments at the moment, but you might want to listen to them later. So just focus on the topics that you want to learn about right now. And also audiobooks and just physical books. I probably purchased over, I don't know, I'm looking at my bookshelf right now, about 70 books on just self-help, real estate, and business. And they're probably only $10 to $15 a book. So, I mean, over the years, I've obviously spent a lot of money, but you could probably make all of that money back in just one deal. You know, just do one good deal. And instead of paying some quote-unquote guru $20,000 or $50,000 for their mentorship program, these books and networking with other investors. And, you know, there might be a seasoned investor that you network with and say, hey, what can I do for you just to help you out? And you might get mentored that way. I mean, I've found countless mentors just by networking as well. So those are some of the action items I have for you. Again, check out Rich Dad, Poor Dad and Cashflow Quadrant. Get you in that right mindset and take action. That's going to be really important because action without knowledge is dangerous, but knowledge without action is useless. So you don't want to be just sitting on a bunch of information and not doing anything with it. So make sure you take action and check out next week's episode of Finding the Market for Your Rental Property. If you thought that was helpful, please do me a favor and leave me a review on iTunes. We'll see you right back here next week for another exciting episode of the Bigger Cashflow Podcast. Thank you for listening to the Bigger Cashflow Podcast. Please remember that opinions of the guests are their own, and nothing on this show should be considered personal or professional advice. Please consult your tax, legal, or financial advisor for personal advice that fit your unique situation. See you next time.